Good morning. I'm excited about this time of prayer. I hope that you'll get excited as I am, because how many of you know prayer changes things? Amen? So I've always heard that prayer was the key to, and faith is what unlocks the door. And so I hope that we'll pray with faith this time of prayer, that we'll pray that our loved ones, our family, our neighbors, our co-workers will be saved and they will find the joy of the Lord that we have. Amen? All right, well, we're going to get into our word today. How many's ready for the word of God? I tell you, I want to pray before we do, because I just feel like God is going to do something amazing in our midst this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I love you today. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come in and serve you and to expound on your word. But Father, Lord, I pray that you would just hide me behind the cross, Lord, that they would not see me, but they would see you, that they would not hear me, but they would hear you. God, that the word that is going forth today, Lord, your word says it will not come back void. And so, God, I'm just standing on that promise today to do a work in our hearts, God, to make us more like you before we leave this place. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. All right, we're going to get in. I'm going to continue on with this series that I'm in the middle of. I feel like I got one more. Is one more after today, okay? I don't want to drag this out. I don't want to make it too long. But God just keeps laying things on my heart that this world, the culture that we're in today, says to us, and they lie to us, and it sounds true, and it feels true, but it's not true. It's just almost true. And so today, to start this off, I want us to take a pop quiz. And don't worry, it's not going to count on your final grade. Some of you, I think, just got some PTSD back to your high school days. It's not that kind of a test. It's just for fun, okay? So to make sure that you're with me, I want everybody to shout true.
True.
Now shout false.
False.
All right, so I'm going to say a few words, and then I'm going to pause. And if you feel like it's true, yell out.
True.
If you feel like it's false, yell out. All right, so here you go. Were you ready? God loves you.
True.
God loves you, and he has a wonderful plan for your life.
True.
And because God loves you, you are worthy of happiness.
True.
Got a little quieter there. Got a little not quite as energetic on that one. All right. Your life is meant to be enjoyed.
True.
God has a purpose. He wants you to be happy. All right? But you deserve a life that you enjoy. So it doesn't matter what you do as long as you're happy. You shouldn't settle for anything less than whatever makes you happy. Okay, so see, as we started this true and false game, it started off easy, but then it got a little bit more confusing as we went along. Some of you were like, true, false, I don't know. What would my neighbor say? You know, and we started, you know, we don't want to be wrong, do we? So, but the reason that it gets a little more confusing is because that everything I said, it kind of sounds true. Some of it is true. And a lot of it is almost true, but not all of it is completely true. And the part that's not true, I believe, is causing more people to walk away from God than in almost any other lie in our culture today. And this is what some of us or some people call the happiness gospel. All right? So the happiness gospel. What is the happiness gospel? It's a popular belief that's out there right now, and the belief is that above all else, God wants me to be happy. After all, I deserve happiness. That's the happiness gospel. You see, it sounds good, it feels true, it's almost true, but it's not completely true. And so the challenge is that whenever we believe that our happiness is God's highest purpose for our lives, it actually changes our relationship with God. And so instead of us living what's true, and let's talk about that for just a moment. What is true? The truth is that we exist to worship, to serve, and to glorify God. That's what we exist for. That's the truth of what we're looking at today. But if we begin to believe that our happiness is God's highest priority, then instead of us serving God, we start to believe that God exists to serve us. And essentially what that does is, to me, I think I thought of it, it reduces it to me as what I would call a heavenly snack machine. Okay, so how many of you ever went to the snack machine and you're looking there and you're looking, oh man, there's, okay, yeah, they don't have what I'm looking for. Oh, but I'll take that. B42. All right, and then you start digging in your pocket and you start putting your money in and you hit the B42 and it goes, oh man, it didn't give me what I wanted. And you get all upset, right? Well, you know what? That's the way it is. If we come to God and we think of Him as a heavenly snack machine, we come to Him and we do the church thing, we do the prayer thing, we give some money, and we're kind of nice and we're kind of Christian-y, and we push the button that we think God's going to give us what we want, and God's got to give us whatever we want, and we push that button. But then whenever we don't get what we want, all of a sudden, God lets us down. And because we feel we deserve happiness, right? It's God's highest priority for us to be happy. No. It sounds true, but it's not true. And the challenge is if you believe this very dangerous cultural lie that's going around, there's a very good chance that one day you will just walk away from God. And this is, might be something that some of your friends have done, or maybe even your kids have done. They say, well, I tried the church thing. I went to church. I gave offering. I prayed the prayer. I sang the songs, and I'm still broke. Or I'm still single. Or I'm still in this difficult marriage. Or I'm still on that job that's dead end, and I hate it. You see, I did the God thing, but I'm still not happy. And when that happens, you tend to think, if God wants me happy, if God really wants me happy and I'm not, then either God doesn't care about me, or God isn't good, or even God isn't real. And if any of those things are true, then I'm just going to walk away from God. And so tragically, that's what we see many people doing today because of this cultural lie. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to, from a perspective of God's word, I want to remind you that our God is on the throne, and that our God is real, and that our God is good, and that our God does care about each and every one of us. And God, I want you to understand, He delights in your happiness. He's a father that loves to give good gifts to His children. So He delights in you and in your happiness, just like you and I do about our kids. Now, I have three grown kids, but I can imagine if I went back and that when they were little and they were to come running up to me every in the morning, they say, Dad, donuts make me happy. We want donuts every day. Well, you know, I might give them donuts every once in a while, but I'm not going to give them donuts every single day because their happiness is not my highest priority. You see, their health and well-being is. And so, you know, it's one of those things like we can say to ourselves, we can say, well, I never have found myself when my kids come to me and they're disappointed and they're brokenhearted, I've never thought of myself, ooh, they're upset today. That's awesome. No, it breaks my heart because I want my kids to be happy. But now my grandkids, when they come by, I really want them to be happy. I really want them to be happy. So if they come to me and they say, hey, G-Paw, donuts make me happy. I'm like, well, you want strawberry? You want chocolate? You want some? Well, just get them all. You know, I'm going to sugar them up and send them home, right? That's the joy of being a grandpa. But now if my grandkids come to me and they say, hey, G-Paw, I want donuts and beer. Well, then all of a sudden I'm like, well, you can have the donuts, but you can't have the beer. Because, see, their happiness isn't really my highest priority. And so you think about this and you think, well, if God's high priority in my life is not my happiness, well, Pastor Jack, I'm kind of tracking with you today. I kind of understand what you're saying, but I thought the end goal was to be happy. I thought, isn't that why God is here? Isn't that what He's there for, is to make me happy and all that stuff? You might be thinking, well, what role does God play in our happiness? And I want to say this very, very clearly this morning. God wants you to experience happiness. but not at the expense of holiness. Okay, I want to say that again. God wants you to experience happiness, but not at the expense of holiness. You see, He loves you, and He's a good Father, and He delights in your happiness, but not at the expense of holiness. In fact, God's Word tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter says, don't slip back into your old ways of living. To do what? Well, we could say there, to do what makes us happy, right? No, to satisfy your own desires, Peter said. You didn't know any better back then. Before you were a follower of Christ, before you asked Jesus into your heart, you didn't know anything better back then. But notice what he's not saying here. Notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say you must be happy in everything that you do. That's not what he says, is it? He says, but you must be holy in everything that you do. God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say you must be, say it with me, holy. Because I am holy. So you must be holy. You didn't know any better back then. And so what he's asking you to do is saying, don't slip back into doing those things, whatever your desires called you to do, because there's a higher calling on your life as a follower of Jesus. Amen? So not just whatever your flesh wants, but instead what pleases God. That should be our heart today. You see, he didn't say be happy in all you do. He says be holy in all that you do. And now I went and I looked up the Greek word that's translated in this for the word holy, and it's hagios. And it means to be set apart. It means to be different. It means to be wholly dedicated to God and to his purpose. And so if we're disciples of Jesus, then we're not going to look like the world, amen? We're going to be set apart. We're going to be different. We're going to be trying to figure out God's purpose for us. And I want us to understand that we're not better. We're just set apart. We're different. We're wholly dedicated to God's purpose. So if you're a disciple of Jesus this morning, that should be your heart. But the challenge is with this holiness or this happiness gospel, is that it teaches us to believe a couple of very dangerous lies. And whenever we believe the happiness gospel, one of the first lies that it tells us is that you need to believe whatever makes me happy must be right. Like, it feels good, and if I like it, then I must just be this way, and so then it must be right. But the second lie that it also tells us is whatever makes me unhappy must be wrong. And so you have to ask yourself, what is it that makes us happy? Well, I think comfort makes us happy. Convenience makes us happy. Pleasure makes me happy. And so what makes us unhappy? Well, that would just be the opposites, right? Discomfort and inconvenience and pain. Those are the things that make us unhappy. And so if our goal is happiness instead of holiness, if that's your goal, then you're going to end up pursuing pleasure and avoiding pain at all cost. And the problem is what brings us pleasure isn't always good for us. And what's difficult isn't always bad for us either, is it? And so, in fact, God often uses the hard things to do a work in our lives. And that's why James tells us, he says, consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith, it develops perseverance. God uses that which is difficult to conform us to the image of his son, Jesus. Amen? And can I tell you, though, the problem gets a little bit worse whenever we start to prioritize our happiness instead of living for God's holiness. Because whenever we say that happiness matters the most, the moment that we believe that, almost every single time, somewhere along the way, we're going to start to rationalize sin. We'll start to try and justify the sin that's in our lives. And you may say, what does it mean to rationalize sin? Well, I would define it this way. We rationalize sin when our minds make an excuse for what our spirit knows is wrong. When our mind makes an excuse for what our spirit knows is wrong, like, I know that I shouldn't do this, and I know God's word says that I shouldn't do it, but if I do it, it makes me happy, and I want to do it, and so it must be okay. And we do all sorts of things like this in all areas of our life. Like it may be your dating life. Now, I'm going to step on some toes, and I don't mean to. But I'm probably going to get on every one of us, including me, okay? But maybe it's in your dating life. You might read in the Bible and you know that sex is for the covenant of marriage, you know, between a man and a woman. And you think to yourself, but I am in love. I'm so in love. All the love songs on the radio make sense to me right now, you know? And you think, well, but marriage is just a piece of paper anyways. And God gave me these desires. So I know God's word says that I shouldn't do it, but it makes me happy. And God will just understand, won't he? And that's what we start to do. Or maybe in your marriage. Maybe in your marriage. You know, I want you to understand that there are biblical reasons for divorce, and that's for a whole different sermon. We're not going to get in that today. But there are some biblical reasons. But what happens more often, though, people today, they get into their marriage and they say, well, I'm just not happy. And so because I'm not happy, I'm just going to leave our marriage. Well, if you got married, I want you to know that you said for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and health, and you said probably at the end, until death do us part. And so when you get into this covenant with God and another person, you got to have a biblical reason to walk away, not just because you're not happy. Amen? All right? So I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable with this, but I believe it needs to be said, okay? Sex. My spouse isn't meeting my needs. Or I'm single and I'm not getting any mingle. All right? So we start to justify what we look at. Because after all, it's not hurting anybody, is it? It's not that big of a deal. It's nobody's business anyways. Or what about this one? Gossip. You see, you get something juicy on somebody, and you know we're not supposed to gossip. And you know, gossip's a sin, right? But we're Christians, so we do it under a... let me tell you, this girl needs prayer. Oh, you wouldn't know what she's been facing. Or Holy Spirit, you need to minister to this guy. He is messing up. Oh, let me tell you what he did. And we use it under the... You laugh, aren't you? You're laughing because none of us have done that, including me, right? We've never done that. But maybe the next one would be, if I haven't gotten on your toes yet, what about this one? What about this one? Hulu, Netflix, HBO, whatever it might be. That graphic content that you're watching, the constantly taking God's name in vain in your home, crude, disgusting humor. You know, admittedly, some of that is funny, but funny doesn't make it right. And we watch all that stuff that will be dishonoring to God, all in the name of entertainment. Well, I know I probably shouldn't put that in your mind, you know, sometimes, but you think, I enjoy it, and I love Jesus, but I know he wants me to be happy, so I just do it anyways on all of those things. We make an excuse, and we try to justify it. It's rationalizing sin is all it is, when our mind makes an excuse for what our spirit knows is wrong. And if I kind of hit a nerve on you this morning, I just feel like maybe it's the Holy Spirit, and he wants to say something to you about something that you've been rationalizing. And it's been said that sin is the most sin that is the most destructive in your life right now is the one place that you're most defensive about. So if you got a little defensive about anything I said there, it might be that sin that's most destructive in your life right now is the one thing that you're most offensive about. I'm not looking to make anybody mad. I just want us to open our eyes this morning to the things that we do without even knowing it sometimes. And if I'm touching on something, or the Holy Spirit is showing you something this morning, it might just be the place that God wants to do his deepest work in you today. Amen. Because God is a very, very loving God, and he delights in your happiness, but not at the expense of your holiness. And here's where the message, it kind of gets hard, and it gets special. I know it's been hard, but it's going to get a little more special right now. Because at some point, the more that you get to know God, okay? Remember this part. The more you get to know God, and the more that you realize just how good he is, amen, and how faithful he is, and how loving he is, and how his standards, they're not meant to harm us, but to protect us. And the more you get to know God and your relationship, the more you realize that holiness and happiness are not enemies. You see, I used to think that before I was a Christian, I used to think if I fully give my life to God, that he's going to keep me from having any fun. That's what I thought. Anybody ever else thought that? If you're online, you can type, "I thought that." I've thought it. I thought if I give my life to God, he's going to take away all my fun. And I didn't realize that happiness and holiness, they're not competing values. They're not. And then you look at everything that culture tells us today, though. Every commercial, every advertisement that you see, everything that comes across your social media feed, it's going to send you the exact opposite message. It's going to say happiness is found outside of God. To really be happy, you need to get something else or someone else or that money or that vacation or that whatever it's going to be. You've got to have what you want. And if you'll get what you want, then you'll be happy. That's what the world is going to tell you. But the problem is if happiness is found in a what, then at some point, maybe you were happy for a while, but that happiness faded. Like you got that new pair of shoes and you're all happy until your friend got the newer version, and then you're not happy anymore. Where I got what I want and it didn't satisfy, you know, sometimes, but sometimes we all do this, don't we? You know, you get that new phone, you get the watch, you get the outfit, the purse, the car, the TV, whatever it is, and you were happy for a moment, but I want you to know the happiness doesn't last. And why is that? It's because what always leads us to a what leads us to a what else. If you're searching for the what, if your happiness is found in the what, then there's fixing to be a what else. The things of this world will never satisfy you. Because as you mature spiritually, and that's my prayer for every one of us, is that we become spiritually mature. And as you mature spiritually, then you're going to start to say, okay, wait a minute. God is good. He is loving. He's a father who he loves to give good gifts to his children. And his standards and his truths, his teachings, they're not restrictive, but they're freeing. They're actually freeing, and it leads me to his goodness and his blessings, and that happiness and holiness, they actually complement one another. And then one day, you're going to recognize that true holiness leads to lasting happiness. As you get spiritually mature, you're going to realize that true holiness leads to lasting happiness. And it's not a temporary thing. It's deeper than that. You see, it's a true joy, and it's not found in a what, but it's found in God alone. It's found in God alone. And there's a very powerful example of this in the Old Testament when King David, he had it all. He had what everybody in the world, if we look around, we would think, he's got what I want. He had popularity. He had power. He had wealth. He would probably be verified on Instagram if he was around today. And so the Bible tells it this way. The Bible says that in the springtime, when the kings went off to war, that he stayed back at the palace. And then he saw this beautiful woman bathing. And that's the way the Bible would tell it, okay? And that's the way it does tell it. But if we were going to modernize that story today, If we were going to say it today, this is somehow where how the happiness gospel would try to modernize this. We'd say, well, you know, hey, it's springtime, and David says, well, I know I'm supposed to go to war, but I read on Instagram just the other day that you can't pour out unless your cup is full. So I'm just going to stay back and get my cup full because it's all about me, right? And then while he was staying back and all the other men were off to war, he's staying back and he's trying to get his cup full. He's watching video on YouTube all the time. And it says, he comes across one that says that your happiness is your top priority. You owe it to yourself to be happy, David. The purpose of your life is your happiness. So do whatever makes you happy. And so he thought, well, I like pleasure. It makes me happy. And so he starts to rationalize the sin. And whenever he saw the beautiful married woman taking a bath, that he called her over and he used his power and he abused her and took advantage of her. And then he covered his tracks and he had her husband murdered. And then one day David woke up and he thinks to himself, he says, what have I done and how did I get to this place? You see, he was far from God. But he also remembered that God had called him to be holy. God had called him to be set apart. And in his pursuit of what he thought that he wanted, his pleasure, what would make him happy, he rationalized sin in his own life. And then what did he do? He did the very same thing that I pray that each and every one of us will do. He came to this point where he says, you know what? I realize what I'm doing is wrong. I'm doing something I know is wrong, and I'm trying to justify it in my heart. We've all been there. I've been there. And then what David did was he repented. And that's where my prayer for you comes in, is that we will repent of it. Re means to turn, all right? And pent is that which is the highest. So what he did was he turned from the lower things of sin to the higher things of God. That's what repenting is today. And David, we can find out that after all of this went down in Psalms 51, he cried out this beautiful prayer of repentance. Psalms 51, 1 and 2, he says this. He said, have mercy on me, O God. Not according to your impossible standards that sometimes we think about, right? But according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sins. Then in verse 10, he cries out, he says, God, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. And then verse 12, he says, restore to me the joy, not the possessions of this world, not the things that's going to make us happy, not power, not wealth. He says, but restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Can I tell you, why did David cry out to God? It was because he remembered very clearly that lasting happiness is found in a who and not a what. David cried out to the who over and over again. We can read more about some of his cries in Psalms chapter 16, verses 2, 5, and 11. And it says, I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. You see, he's your everything. Everything that I want, your everything, everything that you need. And then he says this, he says, Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You are my lot, you make my lot secure. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. You see, David realized that God is what he needed, and you and God is who he seeks, and God is who he desired. And that's what we need to do. We need to seek God, and we need to desire God. And when we do that, he'll restore the joy of our salvation. Amen? And why is that? Because lasting happiness and true joy is found in a who and not in a what. And so what I want to do is this. I want to try to, I just want to plead with you just a minute this morning. And I want to say, don't fall victim to this happiness gospel. It's running rampant. It's everywhere. And right now, it's everywhere. I mean, you hear it all the time. Live your best life. Do what makes you happy. Live your truth. Chase your dreams, right? Follow your heart. Your happiness is all that matters. That's what we hear all the time. And most of us, we've done that. We've pursued what we wanted, and we've justified our sins, and we've stepped away from the standards of God in the name of pursuing our own happiness. And how's that going for people today in this culture? When we look around at our culture and the ones that are believing this lie, how's that going for them? Because you see, people now are pursuing pleasure and happiness more than any other time. And also more than any other time, we see that there's more mental health problems than any other time in history. There's more depression and more anxiety and more loneliness and more hopelessness. Why? Because you cannot self-help your way to happiness. You just can't do it. Lasting happiness is not found in a what, but in a who. We need to say, you alone, God, you are my source. You alone are what I need. Amen? So I want everybody to just take a deep breath with me just for a minute. I know this has been a little bit tough. This has been a little bit, but hang on with me. I'm going to bring the application now, okay? And what I want to do is I want to ask you a question. Where are you pursuing happiness over holiness? I want you to think about that, and I want you to ask God to reveal something to you that you may be blind to this morning, because sometimes we pursue happiness blindly. We don't even realize we're doing it. It's such a habit. And so I want God to reveal to us something that we may be blind to. And again, I want to remind you, if you're really sensitive to something that I'm saying, if you find yourself there, I want to remind you that where you push back the hardest, that might be where God wants to do the most. So I want you to ask yourself, where are you pursuing happiness over holiness? And then I want to ask you the follow-up question, what is God calling you to do about it? And then listen and let God speak to you. Let him move in a very special way in your life. Cody, would you come up and play for me this morning? Some of you might be asking, well, Pastor Jack, are you happy? The answer is yes and no. I'm just being transparent. Like all the time. I'm full of joy, and I have like this heavenly joy all the time. I have moments of true happiness. But at the same time, there are things in my life that are hard. You see, there's not a moment where I don't have some sense of joy and purpose in my life. But there's never a moment where there's not something that's bringing great pain. You see, I've been blessed for 28 years to have an incredible marriage with Shelley and the blessings that God has given us. And I rejoice in that, and I have joy in that. But all the while I'm rejoicing in that, I know the health problems that she has. And I'm blessed to be your pastor, to serve you. And it brings me great joy. But at the same time, while I'm celebrating that joy, I know those of you that are sick in body, you're brokenhearted, the things that are dragging you down, the things that the devil is attacking you with, and it brings me great pain. You see, I'm also overwhelmed that just last week in our service, we had 7 people that I know of that turned away from their brokenness. And they called on the saving power of Jesus. And that brought me great joy. But all along, yes, give the Lord a hand clap. But even in celebrating that great joy, I also know that I have family members that need him. So am I happy? Yes and no. Are you? Are you finding joy? Is the joy of the Lord your strength? I believe that the Spirit of God is going to bring some faith and some healing today to someone in this room. You see, the joy that I have, it isn't based on my circumstances, but on something that only comes from God. You see, God is not our ticket to happiness. He is our happiness. Amen. He is our joy. He's our purpose. He does care for us, and He's always good all the time. So stand with me if you would. Stand with me and bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we just call on you today. I ask for you to reveal to us this morning, God, any area of our life where we're putting our happiness over your holiness. Father, I pray that you'd do a work in each and every one of us today, that you would do a work in our church this morning. Oh, Father, I love you. Church, as you bow your heads and just continue in a moment of prayer, I just want God to show us any area of our life where we're pursuing happiness over God's holiness this morning. If that's you today, would you just lift up your hand and say, just lift them up, leave them up as an act of worship this morning. And let's just declare, God, we love you and we praise you and we need you and we thank you. And Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit would do what I don't have the power to do in this place this morning. Father, that you would draw us into your presence, and God, that you would give us a love for you this morning that's greater than anything in this world. God, if there's any area of our lives where we're not where we're compromising or we're trying to justify our sin, God, I pray that you'd reveal that to us right now. And just like David, I pray that we would repent of it and that we would turn back to you and that we would cry out, God, have mercy on us. This morning, you can put your hands down this morning if you would, with nobody looking around, still in an attitude of prayer. I believe that there's some of you right now, you've tried your very best. You've tried your best to find happiness in this world, but you're not walking with God. And you realize that you've tried to find happiness. You tried to find it in that job and in money and people and partying and on and on, whatever it is. And what do you have? We have a bunch of anxious and fearful and depressed and miserable people because we cannot find true happiness in the world. Our problem is that we have a sinful nature, though, and our sin, it separates us from a holy God. But God, He is so good. He is so loving. God so loved the world that He sent His only Son, Jesus. And Jesus came and He was without sin. And He came for those of us who are broken. And He came for the sinners this morning. And He died upon the cross for our sins so that they could be forgiven. So that anyone who calls upon His name would be saved. And so your sins would be forgiven. Those of you here today and you looked for happiness and you've looked for joy in the world, you haven't found it because it can't be found in this world. There's a joy that goes beyond this world this morning, and that's found in God and God alone. You can't work your way there. You can't be good enough to get there. We have to turn away from our sins and we have to turn toward Him, knowing that He is a good God and that He cares and that He loves you. And today, some of you, you've been searching. But you've been searching for a what? But I'm here to tell you this morning that you actually need to search for a who. And His name is Jesus. And He loves you. And He's ready to meet you today. If that's you and that's your prayer this morning, just slip your hand up real quick. You don't have to hold it up. Just up really quick. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.